Hey, it's Michael, and this is the Kintsugi Podcast. I'll be back in a minute with this week's conversation about resilience. But first, if you wish to create a better life and have a better career, then please visit michaelobrienshift.com and download your free workbook on how to create a better life. In it, you'll discover ways to find more energy for the things and the people who matter most to you so you can create a better tomorrow. Hey there, my fellow like-hearted humans. It's Michael, and this is the Kintsugi Podcast. Thanks for carving out some time to join us today. I'm going to take you to Wyoming. But first, let's take a step back. If you've been with us since I relaunched the podcast at the end of last year, 2023, you know, once a month in between all of our fabulous stories of connection with some amazing like-hearted humans like yourself, I do a segment that I call Open Awareness. It's about stories of connection that I experience along with my wife and our two dogs, Jester with a J and Hope, as I cycled across America and my wife drove our RV called Maisie. So far, I've shared stories of connection with you as we left Astoria, Oregon. We came into Idaho, rolling on the ground like a wild potato, Montana. And now, this week, we're cycling through Wyoming. And here's a fun fact. Did you know Wyoming's state motto is the equality state? Yep, that's right. And given the politics of today, you might scratch your head at that. But there's a history, because there's always a history. Back in the day, Wyoming was the first state that gave women agency to vote. Sounds pretty cool, right? But the only reason they did so is that they didn't have enough people. The population wasn't big enough, if you will, to be considered a state, so they had to give women the right to vote in order to become a state. And that's how they became the equality state. Even though, through the lens of today's politics, not everyone there seems to think that everyone's equal. We came into Wyoming through Yellowstone National Park, which is a national treasure. If you haven't been, please go get out into nature. All I can say is that for the 2 days we were there, I felt awe. It's absolutely beautiful. And there's something about getting so close to wild bison that blew my mind. An Old Faithful, she was right on time. Yellowstone was going to be the first of two rest days for me as I rode across the country. 45 days in total, 43 days of riding, two rest days. Our plan was to enjoy the park together, but because of the rain and the flooding that occurred months prior to our trip, there was a little bit of a funky license plate game to get into the park. If your license plate ended with an even number, congratulations, you could come in on an even number day. If it was an odd number license plate, an odd number day. Well, we had an odd number license plate and we came into Yellowstone on an even day. So, no park for us. So we made it a two-day rest day so we could drive the park together. The park was magical. And for me, and I think my wife would agree, Wyoming left its mark on us. We had key moments of this trip, which I'll share here in a bit, during our time in the state. So we drove through the park and found our next destination. And I decided the next day I would ride to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So at this point in time, we were east of the Grand Tetons. And this day of riding was probably one of the best days of riding of the whole trip. I woke up the next day, turned to the left toward the Grand Tetons. The sun was coming up. The sky was clear and the temperature was cool. It was one of those beautiful mornings you get in the Mountain West. No humidity. There was no traffic on the roads. It was just me and my bike. It was so cool. I was traveling west, not the direction of our trip, because we're heading towards Washington, D.C. This was an extra little loop, if you will. I wanted to go to Jackson Hole. I wanted to see the Grand Tetons in this way and go to the town called Wilson, which our youngest daughter would visit a month later with one of her best friends. As I rode parallel to the Grand Tetons, I picked up this bike path. And this bike path twisted and turned through wildflowers. The sun was still rising. The temperature was warming. There were no cars to worry about. And that took me into beautiful Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And then eventually to this very bougie bakery in Wilson, where I had the most delicious piece of carrot cake. It was humongous. And the bill was also humongous. So here we were in Wyoming, riding through towns that a lot of people have forgotten about. Towns that were down on their luck. And towns like Jackson Hole and Wilson that are thriving. And what's common about all of them is that we're all going through similar stuff. They may feel a little different from town to town, but we have so much in common. Yes, our perspectives are different, but we're still dealing with the fundamental issues of creating a worthwhile life. And we're all dealing with stress, and we're all dealing with that little voice in our head. Regardless of where we live and what circles we travel in. So we had our little carrot cake break and I was back to the bike path. And then we were heading east to a town called Du Bois, Wyoming, in the home of the Cowboy Cafe, where there's some pretty delicious pie, but nothing beats the pie of my mother-in-law. She makes, this Marionberry pie. It's good eating. So the pies at the Cowboy Cafe, pretty dang good. But again, nothing beats the pies that my mother-in-law makes. From Du Bois, I would ride through the White River Reservation and through a town called Fort Washakie, Wyoming. It's important because it's the burial place of Sacagawea, the American Indian guide to Lewis and Clark, who explored the West and the Louisiana Purchase. But I really don't think Sacagawea gets much credit. Certainly not the credit I believe she deserves. She was essential to their success. Her presence in their company signified that this was a peaceful group, which was very important as they came in contact with other indigenous tribes along the way. In fact, one of the few signs that we did see that was pointing us towards where she was buried misspelled her name, as crazy as that sounds. As we were heading there, some of the locals asked if we were lost, which was a clear sign that the cemetery didn't get many visitors. And when we arrived, it took us about 10 to 15 minutes to actually find her plot, and the cemetery just wasn't that big. It was so quiet, almost eerily so. just the wind. No sounds of any animals. But it was beautiful. And also sad. Here is someone so important to American history, and it feels like she's forgotten. And yes, she's on the dollar coin, but who uses the dollar coin? And it doesn't have to be this way. Not in a state whose motto is all about equality, and certainly not in this country, right? From there, we were off to our next pit stop, Lander, Wyoming. And on our way there, my wife and I leapfrogged each other as I tried to avoid this massive thunderstorm heading our way. We don't get storms like this in New York, in New Jersey, or, well, scratch that. We actually do, but we don't see them in the same way. Out in the West, in the Mountain West, you can see a storm coming for miles. It was so fascinating. So she would drive a couple miles down the road and I would ride. We checked the radar. And if we thought that the storm was right around the corner, I would hop into the RV and wait out the storm. So we did this for a number of miles. Eventually, we arrived in Lander. And of course, I had to get my milkshake on. So we found the Scream Shack and got a mocha chip milkshake. There were three kids running the place, really cool. And one of them had a shirt that read, Viva la Tour, as in the Tour de France. I was like, all right, we're in the right place. So we had a good stay in Lander. And the next day, we were off to a town in between Lander and Rawlins. But I goofed a little bit with our plans. I realized that this in-between town had nowhere to park our RV. So we called an audible, and I decided to ride from Lander to Rawlings, which would be 125 miles, so a long day in the saddle. But it was the best bet, so we could park the RV somewhere, turn on the AC so we would be comfortable along with our dogs. So by combining 2 days into one, it gave us an extra rest day. So here we are in Wyoming. We had planned for one rest day, and now we have three just within this one state. And we get to Rawlings. It's another one of these challenge towns that had better days, but current day is forgotten about. So there we were, only a few days since we went through Jackson Hole and Wilson, some of the more expensive zip codes in America. And now we're in Rawlings, a city that is struggling and hasn't yet found a way to reimagine themselves. We get set up, and this RV park right off of Route 80 in Wyoming had laundry, which is a big deal as you're traveling. And that night, there was a spectacular thunderstorm that danced around the mountains that were nearby. The next day, that extra day off, we went to the Frontier Prison Museum, where we got a tour of the prison and the history of it from a young woman named Farley, who had this spectacular, dry sense of humor. The tour was educational and hilarious, which created a little tension because you don't think you should be laughing in prison. But Farley brought it out of us. And she's one of the gems we met as we discovered America. After our tour with Farley, it was time for lunch. So we went to Penny's Diner, which was the only place that was open besides the fast food restaurants that were everywhere on our trip. But when we walked in, no Penny. Penny wasn't around. Clearly, there was someone else working the grill. She was the only one working the whole place, although there were only about two people in the whole restaurant. And clearly, she needed to take a moment to pause, breathe, reflect. So let's join her in taking a moment And when I come back, I'll share why it's important to plan tight, but hang loose. All right, let's take a break. Take a full breath in and a slow releasing breath out. And relax the body as you soak up our conversation. Ah, I hope that felt good. Okay, now that we're a little bit more relaxed, can we be real? I think our morning routines, well, they've gotten a little out of control. You might not have time in the morning to meditate because you're busy doing other things like trying to get to work or getting the kids off to school. And this is where my app, Pause, Breathe, Reflect, comes in, because I built it for busy people with a whole bunch of shorter practices. So if you don't have 10 minutes in the morning to meditate, cool beans. You're a human after all. But I bet you have 5 times throughout the day when you have 2 minutes to practice and let go of stress and bring mindfulness to your everyday moments. So today, download Pause, Breathe, Reflect for free and begin to stress less, sleep better, and join a community of like-hearted humans rippling something worth rippling into the world. All right, let's go back to our conversation and celebrate the kintsugi within us all. I hope that was nice. The person working the grill definitely could have used a pause, breathe, reflect moment, but me telling her to do a PBR probably would not have helped at that particular moment. When we sat down, she told us it would be an hour and a half before we got any food. We had nowhere to go, so we decided to stay. As we were leaving after our delicious pancakes that were definitely worth the wait, 2 other cyclists walked in, so we gave them that, yeah, you look cool in Lycra nod, and went over and struck up a conversation. They were going towards Astoria, so they wanted to know what to expect. So I shared some details, and then right before we were about to leave, my wife asked them, well, what should we expect? Because we were going where they had already been. So thanks to my wife's prompt, I asked them, hey, can you tell me about the dogs in Kentucky? And the guy went ghostly white. Not a good sign, just saying, not a good sign. And then he paused. Again, another not so great sign. And he said it was horrible. Now, as I was planning this trip, I watched a lot of videos on YouTube, read some blog posts, and people talked about the dogs of Kentucky. Dogs that people owned that were off-leash, that just roamed around. And then also, I think, wild dogs. And cyclists talked about getting chased all the time. But I thought it was a little hyperbolic, you know. They wanted to make their trip seem more exciting, edgier. In my book, you're riding across America. You don't have to make it edgier. So I thought they were just exaggerating for effect, for attention. You know how people can get. I'm no different than them sometimes, so I don't pass any judgment. But that's what I thought. And this guy said, we were probably getting chased by dogs 6 to 7 times an hour, and we were supposed to spend about 4 days in Kentucky. This is not good. Now, I have a little thing about being chased by dogs. I've had some pretty traumatic experiences when I was younger. So that whole idea of getting chased by a dog scares the living bejeebies out of me. So when I was planning the trip, I wasn't necessarily looking forward to going through Kentucky, but again, I didn't think it was going to be that bad until he said 6 to 7 times an hour, and then he shared some really horrific stories about being trapped by a few dogs, and no one was around to help him. And I got ghostly white. We left the diner, and before we could get into our RV, I went to my wife. We are rerouting this trip. There is no way I'm going to get chased 6 to 7 times an hour. And she said, yeah, I thought you would say that. And when we got back to the RV park, I started to reroute the rest of the trip, starting in Kansas, which seemed to be the best place to make a shift, as I like to say. And here's the lesson. Don't fall in love with your plan, because if you do, you can grab onto it too tightly and you can't adjust. Going into this, this was my route, the only route. And that was about to change. Plan tight, hang loose. But as we went through Wyoming, there were a few times when I realized things are going to unfold as they will. And it's best not to hold your plans too tightly. It's important to ease your grip just a bit so you have some agility to alter your plans. One of my good friends, Brianna Greenspan, often will say, plan tight and hang loose. So that was the vibe that we adopted as we were doing this reroute. Plan tight, hang loose. So we have agility, versatility to adjust when the universe tells you, hey, Michael, it's time for a new plan. And I'm so glad we did. Our new plan would take us north once we got to the midpoint of Kansas, up into the Flint Hills of Kansas, and into Missouri, and onto the iconic Katy, K-A-T-Y, trail that runs through Missouri. It was a dream. I loved it so much, even though the temperatures, we'll get to this in a future open awareness, were unbearable, and the humidity was crazy. It was still so awesome sauce. From there, we went through Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and then we ended up in Washington, D.C., where we happened to have met and started our family. It was almost like this reroute was meant to be. So if you want more success in your life, if you want to be happier or more fulfilled, or however you look at your definition of success for this one wild and precious life that you get to live, plan tight, know where you want to go, know the first principles or values that will guide your way, know who you want to travel with, basically, who do you want to ride with in life, who's in your Peloton, and plan, but don't hold those plans too tightly. Hang loose. Allow some space. Allow for some openness. You might be surprised what you might find, who you might meet, like two other cyclists coming into Penny's Diner at just the right time to offer us advice that made our trip even more spectacular. So there you have it. A little bit of our journey through Wyoming. During our next open awareness, I'll take you to Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. Until then, keep pedaling, and thanks for being part of our Kintsugi podcast community.